That work?
Oh, wow. Works really well. Okay. All right. Let's start. And I just first want to thank you all for sticking around on a Friday and for coming over lunch. We appreciate it. Next thing I want to tell you is that the name of the session, as you see it on the board and probably on your app, is actually not accurate. So we will be talking about what's mentioned in the abstract, namely connectors. We have plenty of cool stuff to share with you. There's one thing, though, that is mentioned in the abstract that we will not be talking about, and that is building your own connector, right? So sorry about that.
But we will be talking about some cool stuff.
We will be talking about plenty of cool things.
Yeah.
I am David Klo, joining me today is...
I'm Sahil Zafar. Both of us are part of the Outlook Extensibility and Ecosystem team.
So don't be concerned if I end up calling him Shiva throughout this presentation.
Yeah, that's
this
my secret identity.
This is actually a repeat of a session that occurred on Wednesday. So if any of you attended session 2054, this is going to be the exact same thing. So we won't be offended if you decide to leave the room. But it's so exciting. Why wouldn't you stay, right? All right, so let's get right to it. And where is the clicker? Here. This is a slide that we kind of had to put in the deck. It just shows you that the Office platform is comprised of those three big buckets. There's extensibility points in all those three buckets. I'm not going to delve into that, but what we're presenting today is really, it fits pretty much everywhere, right? So take your pick. Let's just go in. Just wanted to start with a little history about connectors. We have that great feature in Office 365, which we call groups. And I don't know if any of you is actually already familiar with Office 365 groups. By a show of hand, anybody? OK, we got a few people who already know. So groups are great because it's a fantastic place where you can collaborate. You're going to have shared files. You're going to have shared calendars. And most importantly, shared conversations. It's great because you have all that information shared between people. However, there is a challenge. There are plenty of services that you probably use on a daily basis that you would love to get notifications from inside those groups, like GitHub and that kind of service. But groups are usually private. That's very important because you don't want them to get spam from the outside world. So you might make them private, or you might simply not share their email address, or share with just a few key people. But all in all, it's quite challenging to get notifications in those groups. And we recognize that. That's why at Build, about 6 months ago, we announced connectors for Office 365. And connectors are really the solution to that challenge. You can natively configure third-party services with great granularity so that you get notified for the events that you actually care about and not for pretty much anything the third-party service might be able to tell you about. It's always presented in a very consistent and elegant card format. So across all connectors, you're going to recognize that look, which makes it possible to always decipher the information that's presented to you at a glance, making you more productive. At this point, we have a catalog of almost 100 connectors, 90 plus. Here are some of the names that you probably do recognize. All those connectors, once configured, are going to be consumable inside all of our clients that support groups. And that means Outlook 2016. That means Outlook Web App. And that also means the Groups mobile app on your mobile phone. And really, what really, really matters to us in this session is that you go away with the understanding that everything that we're presenting is a platform. You can build your own connectors. You can actually take advantage of the SDK that we propose and via webhooks and standard technologies like a JSON. That's how we, the format for the cards that we display in the clients is based on JSON, OAuth for authentication. All of that is something that you can take advantage of to streamline the processes in your own company. Let me stop talking about it for a minute and actually show you something something real. I think I'm number 8.
Number 8 is
that it? Yes. So this is Outlook Web App, and I'm connected to my account, and I am a member of those two groups here, including that marketing group. And I'm going to show you the configuration for the MailChimp connector. I'm actually not going to do it live. We're going to do that later with something else. I'm just going to click on that connectors button, and we have the management UI show up. MailChimp is that very popular service that allows you to track marketing campaigns. And what we've made possible with the connector is to get a status report on how well your marketing campaign is doing right inside Outlook. So MailChimp is not showing here. I'm just going to go change and just going to go check what is configured. So MailChimp is here. I'm going to click on this, click manage, and that's going to show you the actual configuration for the MailChimp.
I think it's projecting my PC.
Ah, so maybe 7?
Yeah,
okay.
7.
So let's do that again.
Yeah.
Is that the right one now?
Yeah.
You see the mouse? All right, I click on that connectors button. The management UI shows up. I'm going to select configured here. This is the MailChimp connector. I already have one configuration. Click manage. And this is how it's configured. Very easy. This is actually a digest type connector, which means that daily here, because that's what I selected, it's going to send a report on my marketing campaign. And this is what the card actually looks like. You probably have seen it already. So again, this is the kind of format that you can expect from each and every connector. It's presented always with that same kind of layout. We have what we call facts, like a name and a value and titles and so on, and even a button at the bottom of the card that allows you to navigate straight to MailChimp. Another connector along the same lines would be Salesforce that allows you to track, and there it is. It's to see what an opportunity may look like. Just the same thing, maybe a digest or a notification that lets you know when that opportunity has changed. So those are the typical cards that you're going to see with connectors today. And I'm going to switch back. We're going to switch back to the deck at this point. Yeah, that's the one. Since Build, we've been very hard at work bringing many more connectors to Outlook. So here are all the connectors that we've added since then. Just not mentioning the names right now if you want to do that little game of trying to match some of them. Not always easy. Cut to the chase, here are the names. Anyway, just to tell you that this is something that's moving really fast, and we're adding new connectors all the time, right?
Well, this is great, David, but I feel there's something missing. I think we can do better.
You think we can?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Okay, what about you actually show that?
Sure. So what we felt was that something was missing, because the feedback from users was that it's great we are getting this information, but we would like to interact with that information as well. So we are very happy to announce the new capability that we are launching soon called Actionable Messages. Now, I don't know about you, but I receive a lot of email. And majority of times, I have to go to a different website or a portal, perform a task, come back to Outlook, and resume what I was doing. Or actually, I flag that email, and then I hope that I will eventually get to it during the day before I go home. But there's always this nagging feeling that I have left something pending and I have to get back to it. Now imagine if you were able to do these tasks right within Outlook without leaving it. And that's what actionable messages are. You can approve an expense report, you can like a tweet, you can respond to a survey, you can add a comment to a GitHub issue, and much, much more, staying within Outlook. And you can do all that with actionable messages. They leverage the same rich format, the same card capability that you saw as part of connectors, and the actions are available right there in Outlook for you to take. And it's a secure and safe way. No client-side code is ever executed. And as part of taking an action, we also allow a user to provide an input. Therefore, fewer context switches and lesser distractions for you. So, how actionable messages are going to be available? They will be available through two channels. First one is through connectors, the ones that you saw just, the ones that David just demoed. We are very happy that some of our most popular connectors now support Actions. We have partnered in the developer productivity vertical. We have partnered with GitHub. And as you can see that now on a GitHub issue, you can add a comment, close it, right through Outlook. We are also partnering with Bitbucket. In the news and the social vertical, we are partnering with Twitter. And as I said earlier, now you can take actions on tweets right from Outlook. But the one that are most excited about is in the task and customer management space. We are partnering with Wunderlist to enable actions on the connectors. And what it means is that you can manage your Wunderlist and manage your tasks in Wunderlist directly from Outlook. We are also partnering with some really cool companies in that space, such as Trello, Zendesk, and Asana. And actually, you'll find out more about the Trello connector later in the demo. So, to show you the power of actions in connectors, we are going to show you a demo of the Zendesk connector. Zendesk is an incident management system. There are two roles. One, first one is the agent who uses Zendesk most of his or her day and uses that to manage customer issues. But most of the time, the agent needs help from an expert. And in the demo, as we will show you, actually let's switch to 7. Or actually 8. So here, I am logged into the, as an agent, I am logged into the Zendesk portal. So here, as an agent, I'm logged into the Zendesk portal. And keep in mind that this is where I spend most of my day. And I am the one who has the license for the Zendesk, And here I have received a customer issue, and I have created a corresponding ticket that Traders Inc. mobile app is crashing frequently with the latest update. Now I need to get help from an expert. See how streamlined the process is in terms of getting help is that I can go to this dropdown, select the help desk group where I can escalate this issue. Now, since I am the agent and I am the only one who has the credentials or slash the license to Zendesk, I have configured the Zendesk connector for that group already for the sake of this demo. So here I'll go. I selected the help desk group. I'm just going to say, please help. And I click submit. So during this time, what is happening is that an email, an actionable message, including the information about the issue, is going to send to that group, which David, who is an expert, is monitoring on his end.
Yeah, so you can see this is the group here. I've selected the help desk group. See, there's new activity in there. See how fast this came in, for that matter, really. This is very, very streamlined. It almost feels instantaneous in many cases. And I've just been notified that there is that ticket, our app is crashing, and essentially my agent here, Sohail, needs help from me. Could be me or anybody who is actually monitoring that group. I spend my time in Outlook, right? That's what I do as an SME. He doesn't. So right now what I can do is say, I know exactly why it's crashing, right? There was an update a couple of days ago that introduced a bug that we discovered really quickly, and then we published yet another update yesterday to fix that. So I'm just gonna tell him that immediately by simply clicking the Add Internal Note action and saying, please tell the customer to install yesterday's update. I'm gonna click on this, posting my comment. It's gonna take a couple seconds, And it's going to flow straight into Zendesk. And if we switch actually to the other machine, you can see that it's already there.
Yeah. And which is great, actually. So as an agent, I have the information right here in front of me, which I can use to help the customer with the issue. Now imagine if this connector wasn't there. As an agent, I probably would have created an email, sent it to that group, copy-pasted the ticket information in that email, waited for the response, and then looked at that response to help the customer with the issue. And then if I was prudent, I would have also copy-pasted the response and into the Zendesk portal so that it's available for future use. So you can see how streamlined the Zendesk connector has made this process.
And something that is not displayed really well in that demo, I'm going to switch back to my machine to actually explain it, that gray bar that you see at the bottom of the card that says the action has been successfully taken, there's actually something we're not showing in here because it's still being coded as we speak, but the name of the person who actually took the action is going to be mentioned alongside the message, as well as the time the action was taken. And that message is going to persist, which means that if you have multiple people, multiple experts working in that particular group, each and every one of them will know exactly what action has been taken, by whom, and when. Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know, okay. I think we can go one step further.
Okay, I think we already moved one step further.
you actually already, yes.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. So right now you have seen connectors in groups and you saw how actions are enabled in connectors. As David was mentioning that we can go one step further. And David, you want to tell us
absolutely.
How do we take that one step?
Yep. And that one step further we're going to take by just looking at what the reality is. We've just mentioned and talked a lot about groups and how they're great for collaboration, but the fact is that groups remain a shared space. That means that everything that happens in a group, every group member will see. If you configure too many connectors on a group, it is very likely that in the end, you're going to have some users that are absolutely not interested in some of the notifications the group gets, while some others are just happy with it, right? So there's a balance to be kept here. Now, the fact is that not everybody works in groups. At Microsoft, we use them extensively because it does improve our productivity every day. But there are some other teams at Microsoft that don't use groups as much as we do. And, well, there are still some people who don't use groups at all. Yet these people, they still need to collaborate, and there are still plenty of services that they would like to have notifications from. They do get those notifications. We just said it at the beginning. There are plenty of automated system emails that come to everyone's inbox. Just sign up to GitHub, sign up to any service, and you're going to get those automated emails. But they're rarely useful. There's too much information usually in them, or sometimes there's just not enough. The valuable information is lost within the noise of whatever format they decided to adopt. Sometimes those notifications, they come once a week, which is probably not enough. Maybe by that time, you're already done with every task or every actionable thing that the email suggests. Or sometimes they just come way too often and they pollute your inbox. So what are we going to do to solve that? We're going to bring connectors to the inbox. That means that all the things, all the power that we've just discussed with groups, now be able to take advantage of in your inbox. You'll be able to set up GitHub, set up Trello, set up whatever, just for you, so that you get those notifications. And maybe at that point, once you've gotten something important, you're going to communicate with a group by just including the group's email address, and everybody's going to see that as well. But that's what it is. It's powered by actionable messages as well. That means that you're still going to be able to take direct actions right from Outlook on those messages, and what better to actually talk about it than to demo it. We talked about Trello before.
Yep.
Sohail said that we would be showing a lot more of it. That's exactly what we're going to do. So let's switch again to my machine, which is 7.
Yep.
So here I am in my inbox, and the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm actually going to configure the Trello connector for myself. To do that, I'm going to hit the gear menu button up there. And you can see there's that manage integrations entry, probably something that you haven't seen just yet. I'm going to click on it, and you'll notice that we now have a unified experience to manage both mail add-ins, if you're familiar with mail add-ins, you know what I'm talking about, and also connectors. There were plenty of sessions this week, including some that that were all about add-ins. My coworker Andrew Salamatov had a session on Wednesday, exactly at the same time as ours, for that matter. So I would recommend if you care about add-ins, which are really complementary to connectors, you should check it out. The replay should be available on Ignite right now. But let me just select the connectors tab here. And the exact same UI as we've seen before for groups is now showing. And unfortunately, I have the Trello connector already configured. That shouldn't have been the case. But anyway, let's just imagine that I said create instead of manage.
Yeah.
And here, what I really want is to subscribe to those events in the board called Ignite 2016. Technically, as I create the connector, I would also have to authenticate against Trello with my account. This is something that I've already done. You can imagine that I would have prompted with the standard OAuth prompt provided by Trello. So I'm interested in those events, but as we were saying before, connectors are very granular. So you can really choose what you want to be made aware of. Here, I decided that I wanted to know about any time when the due date is changed on a particular card. So I checked that box, and then I click Save. I'm going to click Cancel here because it's already done. And basically, I am all set up now. And I'm going to hand it over to Sohail, who is going to be working in Trello and doing some interesting stuff. Okay.
So here I have the Trello board in front of me. I am logged in using my account. And I am going. And we are using the Trello board to manage the project of us prepping for the Ignite demo. So I'll go here. I will add a card. Let's say we call it Publish Slides.
Don't you think it's a little late for that, no? Shouldn't we have done that before?
Well, then it should go pretty quickly. So I have added the card, and now we'll switch to David's machine.
Back there, yeah. So I've already received a notification from Trello. Again, very, very quick, and you can really expect that to be the case most of the time. Receive that card. I see that a new card has been created. Apparently, Sohail is asking me, well, Shiva, sorry. I don't get it. What's your name?
It's my secret identity.
It's your secret identity. There you go.
Or the guy who did the previous demo.
That's it, yes. We're reusing the account.
Yeah, we're reusing.
All right, so I need to publish the slides. Yeah, right?
Yep,
well,
totally.
It so happens
go
that
for
I,
it.
I've already done it, but the problem is that you are not telling me when you want that done, man.
That's how I roll, man.
So what about I actually add a comment to that card and I ask you to do it? Please set the due date. Maybe I can.
Yes.
All right. So back to you. Let's go back to your machine now.
Sure. And sit. So here I am on my machine, and say that at that particular point in time, I was actually working at my Outlook. And as you can see, I see the notification right there show up in my Outlook. I can always update the card by going back to the Trello board, but see how convenient that is that I was working in my Outlook and I received this notification right there.
And that is because he also has configured the connector for his inbox.
Correct. So I see that David has sent me a comment back that please set the due date. So I can actually set the due date right from here. And I know David is a really fast worker, so I'll just set the due date for today. And see that the due date has been updated, the information bar shows
below. Now we're going to go back to my, is that mine? Yeah.
Yeah, that is yours.
And the latest notification that I received in that thread, so I want you to note also that all those notifications about that particular card are threaded, so they are part of that one single conversation in Outlook. They're not going to be spread across like many, many incoming emails. Makes it a lot easier for me to actually find them and work with just that card. So, okay, I'm actually done. The deck is published.
Cool.
And I'm going to mark that task as completed, and that's how you the way you do it typically in Trello is that you move the card to another list. I'm going to click on the move action here, select the completed list, and submit. We're going to go back to your machine.
And let's see. Let's go back to Trello. Back to my machine. And here I have the Trello board. And you can see that the task has been marked as completed and has moved to the Trello list.
So again, incredibly streamlined, very, very fast. And imagine without those actions, how the process would have been not as easy to complete. There are plenty of cases where we don't do stuff immediately because it's too complicated.
Absolutely. This is amazing again, David, but I think we are not pushing ourselves enough. We can do better, even better.
I know you have something else to say, Sohail.
You know what I'm talking about.
Just go. I know what you're talking about. Cool. You already do, but they don't.
Great.
So go ahead.
Great. Thank you.
Did you want me to talk about this before?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so we are shipping connectors in the inbox. We're not shipping the entire 90-plus connector catalog. There's plenty of good reasons for that. I'm going to give you two. One, we wanted to be sure that the scenarios that we're shipping really make sense in the inbox. Our entire catalog is not just appropriate for the inbox. Many of our connectors are really meant to be used as part of groups. So we just selected a few that we think will really make a difference. And we also wanted to work very, very closely with those partners to make those particular connectors, six in this list, actionable with the actions we are confident users will actually take every day, and that it's actually going to make a big difference. There will be plenty of additional connectors coming within the next few weeks and months to the inbox. Many of them will be actionable, but for now, this is our launch catalog. And with that, I'm actually going to hand it back.
Okay. Oops. Cool.
I did your reveal.
No,
sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So up till now, you have seen the power of actions in connectors for groups and connectors for inbox. If you remember earlier, I had mentioned that we are enabling actions through two channels. One of them is connectors. And then the second one, which is also incredibly exciting, is that now you can take actions on standard SMTP mails. So what it means is that a third-party service provider, when it's sending you an email, they can include some markup in the email body as part of the HTML. And when the message is received by Outlook, it will actually render the markup as a card, also including actions. So imagine, as I said earlier, you can approve an expense report right from Outlook, you can like a tweet, you can respond to an issue on GitHub, all staying within Outlook. Now, all that is very safe and very secure. No client-side code is ever executed in Outlook. We have multiple layers of security in order to make sure that Microsoft and Outlook are providing a really good user experience. Only approved email provider or approved senders would be allowed to send marked up emails. And as part of this whole capability, actually, we also wanted to show you a new functionality that we are working on called Dynamic Card Refresh. And I will show you what we mean by that as we show you the next demo. So to show you the power of actions in regular SMTP email, we are going to show you a vacation approval system, which is leveraging two additional Microsoft products, which are SharePoint and Microsoft Flow. Microsoft Flow is a workflow automation tool. So for that, we will switch to David's machine.
Thanks, Sohail. So yes, a vacation approval system that is based both on SharePoint and Microsoft Flow. If you've never heard of Microsoft Flow, which would be surprising because I think there are plenty of sessions here, but it's really that the new system that we released a few months ago that allows you to automate workflows. In this particular case, what we're going to do is there's a SharePoint list I'm going to show right now in which I'm going to be able to add a vacation request. And as that is done, an event is going to be pushed to Microsoft Flow. And I have that flow configured here. And I'm not going to dig into the details because it's actually hard to swallow. But what this flow does is, as a result of getting that event that an item has been created in the SharePoint list, it's going to send an approval email to a particular account, namely Sohail's, because Sohail is the approver. And once Sohail has approved or rejected that vacation request, an email is going to be sent back to me, to indicate whether or not the request was approved or rejected. And the SharePoint list is also going to be updated to show the new status of the request. So let's go and do it. I feel like I strongly deserve a vacation. I don't know what.
Sure, sure. Okay. But didn't you take a vacation last this Wednesday as well?
No, that was you.
Oh, that was me. Yeah, I think I have taken 100 or so vacations during the part of this demo.
Is that the right screen? Yes.
Yeah.
I need time off.
Okay.
And I want time off from, say, I don't know, tomorrow sounds good. I'm going to take a week. And you're going to be a good sport. And you're going to give that to me.
Okay, just buy me a beer.
Like this. I'm going to click save. So as I click save, SharePoint, I don't know if I want that, no. SharePoint now has that new item. There's a little delay between the moment. SharePoint actually generates the notification that goes to Microsoft Flow, so that's what I'm gonna fill here as long as I can. There's just like about 30 seconds to a minute, but once that event has fired, Flow is gonna pick it up and trigger that activity, which is to send an approval email to the appropriate mailbox, namely Sohail's mailbox. It's not that there yet, so
correct.
Still.
So let's switch to that.
There it is. So now
let's
we can switch actually
to my machine. So here I am the manager. As David was describing earlier, I had set the flow and the SharePoint list that whenever one of my team members submits a time off request, I get an email asking me to approve or reject that time off request. So here you can see that I received this email, and that's the thing that right in my email, I see who the request is from, why, and a brief description that when the time of request is needed from. And notice I can approve or reject the request right from within Outlook.
You are so nice to have approved this.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. We're going to go back to my machine.
Sure. Just one second, David.
Oh, sure.
So as you can see that the response, you see a message at the bottom that the response approve has been registered. If you remember earlier, I was talking that we also wanted to show you a capability called dynamic card refresh, but it's still being baked. And once dynamic card refresh is present, actually a service provider can completely refresh this whole card. So imagine instead of the response appearing at the bottom, your whole card can say that, thank you, your vacation has been approved, and provide some additional details. It is even more important for when you're approving an expense report, you will have a record that I approved the expense report at such and such time, and these were the details for the expense. Or actually, a third-party service provider can respond back in a refresh card with additional actions that a user can take.
Yeah, in this particular case, also the accept or reject is really a one-time action. It's something that can be done once, and once it's done, it's done. So there's really no reason why those actions would still be present in the card. It might be misleading to the user. Yeah. So with the card refresh, those two actions would actually be gone, and the only thing that would remain would be the status of the request, which we believe is going to provide for a much better experience.
I totally. David, I'm feeling greedy. I think we should show another demo for the
Let me first show that everything that we did actually worked.
Okay, cool.
And then
absolutely.
We can be
absolutely.
Greedy.
Yeah, actually, so you see here I approved the vacation request, and now, go ahead, David.
Let me refresh that list just to show that indeed it's been my time off has been approved, and I also did get a message here
that
in my inbox saying have
has
fun. So again, the flow is completely end to end with just those actionable messages. Everything is really fast,
and all that was done within the context of Outlook.
Yes. So let's be greedy now.
Okay. Cool. So the other demo actually we wanted to show you is, well, one, we are working with an additional launch partner called Fieldglass. Fieldglass is an SAP company, and they provide vendor management solutions. So the scenario is that I am submitting an expense sheet, and my manager needs to approve it right from Outlook. So is this my machine? No, this is yours. So let's switch to my machine now. And here I am at the Fieldglass portal. I have put in my credentials already. I will click sign in. Let's create a new expense report.
This is really, really fresh off the press. We've been working hard within the last few days with Fieldglass to actually get that demo ready. We were absolutely not sure we would be able to show it, but they've worked hard. We thank them for that.
Yeah, we really.
So the information that we're typing in, I mean, it's a very rare scenario, like 9, 18, 2013. That's a little weird, but it's real code running end to end.
Exactly. So you saw that I just submitted the expense report, and David is playing the role of the manager who's going to receive the expense approval request in his email.
Yeah, I don't know how long. We shouldn't have to fill for much longer now. There we go. All right, Jamie.
Let's switch to his.
Is that one of your additional names, Jamie?
So Jamie is the account from which the expense report is. Yeah, that's another secret identity. I'm like a Jason Bourne here.
Oh my, it's crazy, man. All right, so expense report, that looks good to me. You know, I'm just going to approve. You guys understand the drill now. Oh, no screen.
Oh, right? No
screen. The right button.
Not the right button, sorry.
Yeah, not so right. Here is the expense report. No, not the right button.
Yes.
Yep, we're good.
Too many buttons.
This is the email that I got from Jamie Sohail Shiva. And again, same layout. You know, just always that consistent look and feel everywhere. And with those two actions, I think that thing looks good to me. I'm just going to say go ahead and approve this expense report. Click OK. And if
Great.
We switch back to Sohail's machine, we should see that in Fieldglass, if we refresh the page.
So here you see previously the expense report was showing pending approval status. I will refresh the page. And voila, it shows that the expense report has been approved. And again, keep in mind, all that was done within the context of Outlook. You did not have to go back to the SharePoint, to the Fieldglass portal, and approve the expense sheet there. So you saw the Microsoft Flow demo, who's one of the launch partners. We are also partnering with SAP Fieldglass, incredibly thankful to them for working with us in such a crunch time period. We are also incredibly excited to announce a third launch partner, Tiny Pulse. Again, they have been working really hard with us to make this capability available for their users. Tiny Pulse is an employee engagement measurement, is a company that provides tools to measure organizational health and employee engagement. And the way they do that is they said tiny surveys or tiny pulses to employees, and employee can respond back to them that what they feel about the question that is posed to them. So again, all of you know about surveys. The majority of user friction with surveys is that, first of all, I have to log in. And if the survey is anonymous, still I have to go to stop my work, go to a different website, come back, fill the survey there, and then come back and resume what I was doing. But with this engagement, with this integration, you would be able to respond to surveys right there from within Outlook, be done within a couple of seconds, and as a result, your employer can know how you feel about your current work environment. And we also have a lot of partners in the pipeline. We're working with quite a few of them. We cannot announce them right now, but they will be available soon.
We want to emphasize again that all of these are just scenarios that we present to you to make sure that you get the principle, but they are all built on a platform. You can implement whichever scenario makes sense for you. It's really, especially via actionable SMTP messages, those functionalities are going to be available within your company without having to engage with us. You can just take advantage of it and streamline your processes.
Yeah, you want to talk?
So in terms of the roadmap, available now in Office 365 for Office 365 users, connectors in the inbox, that's going to be OWA only for now, but we're working hard to bring them to Outlook 2016. And that includes the management UI that is now embedded within the same dialogue as add-in management. Actionable messages via connectors, we're shipping in OWA only for now, both groups and inbox. Actionable messages via SMTP with the launch partners that we just mentioned. Still OWA only, we're working extremely hard to bring it to Outlook. Outlook is a little bit more challenging in terms of adding those kinds of complex features. And the broad rollout will happen within the next few weeks. This is still a preview. General availability is slated for a little later. So soon, we will have it all available generally for everybody, including Outlook 2016, including actionable messages everywhere, including the SDK and the full documentation that will allow you to actually dig in and implement your scenarios on top of the platform. Later on, we will bring those same capabilities to additional Microsoft clients. I think it goes beyond first release. It's really going to be available to anybody, but we call it a preview because it's not actually. Let's put it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, and I
think it's going to be available widely, much beyond first release.
Correct.
But I am not sure.
And I think this slide will answer part of your question. So what can you do if you're interested? We are seeing incredible excitement from our partners regarding this capability. And the consistent feedback we are hearing that we cannot get it soon enough. So the capability, as David mentioned, is available in limited preview today. And what it means is that the platform is there. If you want to play with it, you can fill out a form and tell us about your use case and how you plan to use this capability. We will vet it. And we will provide you additional information that how you can build a proof of concept and also how you can take this capability to production if you want in that time frame.
And that is if you want to actually implement an actionable message that your service would be sending to other companies, right? If you want to take advantage of the platform internally, you don't really have to ask us permission. I mean, the feature will be available to you. You can just go ahead.
Yeah. So very soon, connectors with actions, they will be available in the inbox. The third-party services, the partners that we are partnering with, the moment they implement actions, they will start showing up in your inbox as well. And if you want to take advantage of actions within your organization for your internal line of business applications, you can start doing that today as well. As we mentioned earlier, fill out a form. If you have questions beforehand, there's an email address for you as well where you can send us email and we'll be happy to respond back to any query that you have. And then if you feel that there are additional scenarios which having a connector or an add-in or some other Outlook customization would help you with, again, feel free to leave us feedback at User Voice.
The standard resource slide, like dev.office.com is probably your best friend to learn more about what you can do. But if you want to take a picture, I don't know if you have access to the slide deck after that. Those are the right places to go find out how to build connectors. You can already build connectors. You can't just yet build them with actions. That's coming soon, especially if you sign up. But OK, that's for resources. Done. Plenty of sessions this week. I encourage you to go to the Ignite website. You're going to see a replay of everything. Everything is recorded. Add-ins. Plenty
of things.
You
can
have to do it too. please fill an evaluation. Probably you've been told that like 50 times this week. This is very important to us. To improve in the future, to deliver better presentations, to streamline our content and everything. And finally, we want to really, really thank you again for coming at lunchtime and on a Friday. We really appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you.